is Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. And let me set the stage for you here. This is during early in the reign of Zedekiah. If you will remember, he was one of the sons of Josiah. Remember Josiah? After he died, then you had Jehoiakim, who ruled, and then Jehoiachin, his son. Jehoiakim ruled for roughly 10 years, then Jehoiachin for about 3 months, remember? And then he was taken to Babylon, and his uncle Zedekiah became the king, and he ruled for the last kind of 10 years of Judah's pre-exilic time. And so this is early in Zedekiah's reign. And the conflict that you will see, especially starts in earlier in the book, chapter 27, though, he's in conflict, Jeremiah is in conflict with other prophets about the length of the exile. The other prophets are saying it's only going to be 2 years or so, whereas Jeremiah has been saying it's going to be 70 years. So there's that conflict. And then there's also conflict between Jeremiah and Zedekiah, who wants to take part in some kind of a revolt against Babylon. All right. So as part of this, you'll see, I think this reflected in the text as well, so you'll know what's going on. Jeremiah has been wearing this yoke. In chapter 27, remember, he wore this yoke, and he sent a message to the surrounding countries, Moab, Edom, the Ammonites, and I can't remember someone else, telling them to submit to Babylon, not to plan any kind of revolt. See, he was wearing that yoke, and then he said the same thing to Judah as well. All right. So in the beginning of chapter 28, we meet the prophet Hananiah. All right, in the reign of Zedekiah, and Hananiah is again he's a prophet from Gibeon. And both of them were in the house of the Lord. And he said that Yahweh was going to break the yoke of Babylon, specifically in 2 years. Okay, so that's what you get in the first part of chapter 28. All right. And that Jehoiachin, who was at this time in Babylon, remember, who goes by the name here, Yeconiah, is going to be released. All right. So that's his prophecy. And what we see in our text, which is verses 5 through 9, again of Jeremiah 28, giving an opposing prophecy to Hananiah. All right. In the first part of this chapter, again, Hananiah broke the yoke that Jeremiah was wearing, all right, because he was resisting his prophecy. So we take it up in verse 5 here, and I think that's a pretty good background for you guys to understand what's happening in these verses. Again, but we're in Jeremiah 28, verses 5 through 9. So, Vayomer Yirmiyah Hanavi El Hananya Hanavi. Right, so notice they're both called Navis. Jeremiah Hanavi, the prophet, said to Hananiah, the prophet. Okay, remember, this is in the middle of that conversation. All right. Le'ene ha-kohanim, le'ene kol ha'am. In the eyes of the priests, or in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people. Remember, they were actually at the house of the Lord, so they're at the temple. Ha'omdin be'beit Yahweh. Those standing in the house of the Lord. Again, you have noticed the participle, the call, plural from Ahmad, used as a substantive. So, Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, in front of the priests and in front of all the people who were standing, Ha Omdim, who were standing Bebeit Yahweh, in the house of the Lord. Okay? Verse 6, Vayomer Yirmiyah Hanavi, then Jeremiah the prophet said, Amen, Kenyase Yahweh, Yaken Yahweh et Devareka. Truly, Amen, truly. All right? Thus may Yahweh do. Yahaseh, notice the simple call imperfect from Asa. Alright, now notice how I translated it. It's not a shortened imperfect, but I'm translating it with that volitive or adjustive force. Notice the next word, Yakem Yahweh. And may Yahweh raise up your words. This is from Kum, a Hifil imperfect. Notice that that's shortened. And it's interesting, I just bring this up because You guys probably were taught that jussives are often shortened, and they usually are, but not always. So notice Yaaseh could be shortened to Yaas, and it isn't. And again, you know, we don't know what the scribal tradition is or the tradition for writing these words, but notice within the same verse you have two prefixed verbs with obviously the same force behind them, both kind of jussive. He's giving a kind of a may this happen, may your words happen. It'd be great if they'd come back in 2 years, all right? So that's what he's talking about here. So again, Jeremiah and the prophet said, truly, thus might Yahweh do, Nosiatnak, may Yahweh raise up, or maybe a better English translation would be, may Yahweh establish Devareka, your words, Asher nebeit lehashiv kele beit Yahweh vekol hagola mebavel el hamakom hazeh, which he prophesied. Nebeita. Notice that this is from a Hiphil form from Nava. Hiphil perfect. I'm sorry. Niphal perfect. Second masculine singular. You will see the Niphal and the Hitpael interchange here. And again, you know, several words that happens to in Hebrew, and Nava is one of them, and I don't know what the difference in meaning is between those two. They just seem to overlap, and most translations will simply translate with English prophesy. Okay? So, which you prophesied. So, may Yahweh establish your words, which you prophesied, lehashiv, by returning. This is a Hiphil infinitive construct from Shu. By returning the vessels of the house of the Lord, and all the Gola, and all the exiles. Okay, notice that that's from the root Gala, which you probably learned to reveal, but it also means to go into exile. And you have two, you're going to see a couple different words in this chapter for the exiles. Gola is one, and Galut is another. All right? So, may Yahweh establish all your words which you prophesied by returning the vessels of the Lord. Remember, they were taken. They were already in Babylon. By returning the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles from Babel, from Babylon, to Hamakom Hazeh, to this place. Alright? Verse 7. Akshmana hadaver hazeh asher anoki dover be'ozneka. But, notice ak, but shamana. Notice that's a call imperative from shama with the na. Remember what that is? That's a particle of politeness. So notice that Jeremiah, in the midst of this conflict with the other prophets, is being polite here. Please listen to this word, hadavar. Please listen to this word, which I, dover, notice that that's a call participle from davar, which I am speaking be'ozneka, in your hearing. Okay? Be'oznei kol ha'am, and in the hearing of all the people. You could translate more, a little more woodenly, which I'm speaking into your ears and into the ears of all the people. Alright? Verse 8. Hanevim asher hayu lefnai ulefaneka min ha'olam. Okay. The prophets, this, notice this construction. So I'm going to translate up to the Atnak. The prophets who were lefanai, before me and before you, min ha'olam, from the age, we would probably say from ancient times. Okay? Now notice that that all fronts the verb of which they are the subject, and notice the verb is above consecutive. The word order is not what you would see in normal narrative, right, where you would not have the subject in front of above consecutive. But notice he's speaking, and so you're going to get that kind of thing, and it's, you know, the focus is on those prophets, and so in unspoken language, you see a word order that you will not see in narrative so much. So, Vayinavu. Alright, notice you have another Niphal from Nava here. Alright. El Aratzot, Aratzot Rabot Ve'al Mamlakot Gedolot, Lemilchama Ula Ra'a Ula Davar. Let me translate. They prophesied against El Aratzot, or to many lands and to great kingdoms. Here, notice again another interesting feature. Al and El, notice the two words, seem very, in a lot of contexts, to have, again, an interchange in meaning. So you just have a variation here between el and al. And you shouldn't try to find some great distinction in meaning, difference in meaning here. You try, notice he prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms. Al and el. And you'll very often see that interchange. And in Jeremiah, it does happen frequently. Okay. Now notice Lemilchama, Ulara, Uledavar are the objects. He prophesied war, Lemilchama, and Ra'a, calamity, and Daver, and pestilence against many lands and against great kingdoms. Right? So notice how that verse goes. As for the, so he's going back, as for the prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times, they prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms. They prophesied war and calamity, ra'ah, and pestilence. Okay? Verse 9, here's the last verse of our text. Hanavi asher yinave la shalom, bevo devar hanavi yivada ha navi asher shalacho Yahweh be'emet. The prophet who prophesies, notice another nifal here from Nava, the prophet who prophesies le shalom, the prophet who prophesies peace, which he's referring to Hananiah, bevo devar hanavo. I'm sorry, hanavi. Bevo is a call infinitive construct with the preposition beit in front of it. And devar is a subject. So it's in the coming of the word of the prophet. Alright? And probably translate this as temporal. Notice you very often have that with infinitive constructs and beit. When the word of the prophet comes to be or comes true, see, Yivada Hanavi, the prophet will be known. He will be recognized. Or you could even translate, he will be known as a prophet. Okay, but notice that that's a nifal from Yadja. Right, so again, when the word of the prophet happens, the prophet will be known. Okay. Now, notice that the Masoretes actually have you stop there with Hanavi. See that Rabia up there, or the Zakev Hanavi? Okay, now, so I'm translating this Asher Shelacho Yahweh Ba'emet independently as a relative clause, and I'm suggesting that the antecedent is actually Yahweh that comes after it. Okay? Remember, very often you have a resumptive pronoun after the at the end of a relative clause, but sometimes you have the full word. In Greek, it's called incorporation, when the antecedent is incorporated into the relative clause. Well, you have the same thing in Hebrew. So I would translate, so it kind of, very woodenly, who has sent him Yahweh? But I would translate in English, Yahweh is the one who has sent him, be'emet, in truth. Notice the adverbial force, emet is the noun, truth, you add a bait, and again, it's a very kind of ordinary thing to do in Hebrew, and you make it an adverb, truly. So again, the whole verse, the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet comes, the prophet will be known. Yahweh is the one who has sent him truly, or Yahweh is the one who has truly sent him. So once again, you're seeing this conflict between Jeremiah's one sent by Yahweh and Hananiah as sent by Yahweh. And when you read the book of Jeremiah in general, you get a lot of insight into the office of the prophet, where he prophesied, what he prophesied, how, kind of what his experience was, and you see him in conflict with both other court prophets and the king himself. Alright? So, you know, as far as preaching a sermon on this, I mean, it's kind of an interesting text. Because Jeremiah, in a sense, becomes, you know, as the bearer of the Word of God, a forerunner of the Word of God. And notice that the Word of God, that God speaks through the Word incarnate, rose from the dead, and in that Word promises us resurrection. So, for us, we trust that Word, waiting for it to come true, waiting to see that God in Christ has spoken the truth to us. So maybe a sermon somewhat along those lines will actually kind of be an interesting way to approach this text.